did. What God is going to do, what he's able to do.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We don't talk about what the devil did. So our praise is going to continue to flow out of it, out of our mouth. Do the good, the bad, it don't matter. Because God, we notice he is good all the time. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And he does keep us from unseen dangers, things that we don't know nothing about. Amen. We don't know if the angel was sitting next to us in a car or not. You know, we know they had to be. Amen. Because you've been kept. God sent something or somebody to watch over you. It wasn't my mama. It wasn't my daddy. It was an angel that was watching over me. Amen. God is so good. And his mercy endures forever. Last week we talked about what was on God's table. We know everything is on God's table. Amen. Healing, deliverance. You know, God prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He don't wait until something happens. It's already set there ready for you. Amen. So God ain't got to prepare no more. It's already been prepared. It's there already. So we thank God for just being good. Remember also Sister Harvey in our prayers. Keep Pastor up in our prayers. We pray for her. Dela, let's pray for Sister Harvey. Dela, she's going through something. You know, she's asked for the church to pray for her. She said, Brother Al, I'm just going to tell you, I need y'all to pray for me.
Yes,
he didn't say you. See, I need y'all. How many know when y'all get together?
Yes.
When we get together, what we can accomplish.
Yes.
That's why the devil wants to keep you separated. The devil wants to keep you occupied. You know, he wants your mind stayed on this one. Jesus said, no, I got that. You keep your eyes on me. Amen. When we get together, the devil don't want that. He knows when we come together, we ain't coming in peace. We coming to take back what belonged to us. Amen?
Amen.
And we can take it back. It belongs to you. Amen. Peace belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. Salvation, it belongs to you. Jesus paid too great a price for. Amen. For just to let the devil come and take what God paid the price for. Amen. So we going to bombard the heavens. Amen. And not just for that. You know, I'm seeking the Lord for a healing and deliverance service. I'm just going to let you know. You know, because God, man, I tell you, I tried the spirit. And every time I touch this person's head, pray for them. They shake my hand off. I can put my hand on the shoulder, put my hand on their back. But when I touch that head like this, that person throw my hands off. So that person, the other day, I just looked in this person's eyes and I began to speak to the devil because I know that's who it was. Don't want me to put my hand because the devil knew what I was going to do. He knew what I was doing. You know, I was talking to Jesus and I said, you know what, Lord, there's a time and a season. I'm asking God to give us a miracle, not just for one, but for several people that's in this congregation, for several people. But I believe that these things, I've been praying, Lord, give me that kind of faith. I know what that kind of faith got to take. But I'm saying, Lord, help me to do what it takes. To get that kind of faith. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Fasting. You know. I just come off a fast. But I say, Lord, I'm still hungry. And I know it. Tawana feeds me good. My daughter-in-law feed me good. Everybody feed me good. Even the job feed me good. Every time I try to fast, I got food standing in my face. That's how the devil do. When I don't fast, they don't have nothing. I'm like, and I'm hungry. But I'm saying, Lord, I'm hungry right now. But I don't want that food. You know, I want the bread of life. You know, I want that shoe bread. I want the bread that will deliver, that bread that will save, that bread that will bring forth miracles. Amen. That's the bread I'm looking for. And so this individual I just looked at him. I said, just sing with me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Start singing a song. For the Bible tells me so. Sang it with me for a while. I said, say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I said, say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And so I went back to study, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice. I love you, Jesus. Just sitting back there by myself. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, you love me by his own self. I said, the devil is a lie. If I'm telling you, if it's written, then we can have it. If God said it, then it's supposed to be. So I said, Lord, it ain't you. It's us. You know, it's us. It's us. And so we're going to please pray. Please be praying. Pray all this week for the revival. Maybe it happened during the revival. You know, this we want this revival. If we have this revival, we believe that we're going to have this revival. We want to be a different revival. I'm asking God to save souls. You know, that's what revival is supposed to come and revive and save souls. You know, build up and edify. I don't want to walk out and say we had a good time and ain't nothing changed. I want to change. How many want to change in their life? I'm ready for a change. I'm tired of the ordinary stuff. I am. You know, and the word is good and it does good. Maybe we ain't taking the word serious enough, Brother Joe. Sister Green, maybe we ain't taking it to heart. You know, but we know it ain't under God. We know it ain't under God. I don't believe it's the ministers. Because they come and preaching fire. Amen. So I'm saying, Lord, what's wrong with me? You know, yeah, Lord, use you. You use you. But I said, Lord, I want to see what you said we're supposed to see. I want to see my children delivered. My children delivered. You know, I want to see them babies delivered. Amen. I believe it can happen. I believe it can happen. I believe it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. How many believe it's going to happen? How many believe it's going to happen? Come on. Come on. Give God some praise if you believe it's going to happen. We know it can happen. But how many believe that it will happen? It will happen. Amen. It will happen. I believe it's going to happen. Because I ain't going to let up. Like, Pastor, I'm going to be on it like a dog on a bone. You ever seen a dog with a bone? Just won't let that bone go. Try to take that bone from him and see what happens. Try to take my faith. Try to take your faith from and see what happened to the devil. Amen. He's going to get a black eye. So we do thank the Lord today. I'm going to be in 1 Samuel 21. Try to keep your attention for a moment. We do thank the Lord for Brother David. He's hanging in there. We do thank you, brother. We appreciate you coming. We know you feel the love of God because I don't believe you'll come back. You came by yourself the first time to scope the place out. You wise, man. You know, before you expose your family. Then you came with your family. So we do thank you for coming. We appreciate you. We hope that you feel the love of Christ in here. You know, we hope that you know that we love you, love your family. And we know that, hope that you know that God loves you even greater. Amen. So we thank you for coming back, brother. We know we're going to have many more saints. We're going to have much more people coming back. It ain't going to be because of no individual. It's going to be because of God. The love of God. You know, he said, by love and kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. So you keep loving on folk and watch and see how much you grow and we grow. So keep on loving on. So let us go to the God in prayer. We're going. All right, Derek. God would do it for anybody. Amen. He would do it for any. God is no respecter person. And so his name is Michael. Be praying for him that God would bless this young man. And I told him, I said, they looking for a lot of folk on the job. And he got, I said, I'm trying to advocate for you to get your job. And so many people just need help out there. Amen. But you got what it takes. It's in you. Amen. The word is nigh you, even in your mouth. All you got to do is speak the word only. Just step out there and start speaking. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you this morning, God, with thanksgiving, God. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, God, we don't forget to tell you thank you for all the things that you have done. Thank you for waking us this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, God, each and every day, God. Thank you for watching over our children, God. Lord, not only over our children, God, we don't want to be selfish. Thank you for watching over our neighbors. Lord, that enemy, Father God, that gets on our nerves sometimes, God. We thank you for watching over them, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, God, for our sister, Lord God, today, God. We pray, God, for Sister Harvey. Lord, we ask that you, God, would touch and strengthen her, Lord God. God, we're reaching out, God, for a miracle for her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're reaching out, God, for a good report for her, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask also, God, for our pastor, Lord God, you continue to strengthen her, God. Thank you, Father God, for keeping her mind, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for her family, Lord God. Lord God, those that are helping her, Lord God. We know it's a job, Lord, but Lord God, we know that you are able, God, to strengthen those, Father God. Oh, God, strengthen the feeble-minded, God. Strengthen the weak, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we just thank you for your word, God. Your word is good. It's everlasting, God. It don't change, Lord. Now, God, we ask that you, God, will use me for a moment, God. Use me for the time that you allowed me, God. Speak to me and through me, Lord God, that I may encourage your sheep, your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God one more good praise for me, please. Or for yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 21. Start the first verse. This is when David was running from Saul. Saul trying to kill him because his evil spirit had come up on him. You know, the devil's trying to kill you too. There's an evil spirit out there, you know. It ain't came up. It's been out there. Amen. And the devil was after you, whether you know it or not. Amen. So this devil was after King David to try to kill him. And it says, then came David to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king had commanded me a business and had said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand and what there is present, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread, but there is hallow bread. Young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered and the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. And the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it was sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallow bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now, verse 3 says, now there was after David was running from Saul trying to take his life, say he came to Nob, and he said, now therefore, in verse 3, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. It is the enemy hot on his trail. He got every town, every city looking for David. David can't hardly go nowhere, amen, without being sought after, you know, for his head, you know, to be killed for nothing. Amen. And that's just what the devil do. He's after you just for nothing. You didn't do nothing but accept Christ. That's good enough for him. Amen. That's all he want to know, if you accept Christ. But David asked for 5 loaves of bread. I say, Lord, why 5 loaves? Why not 10? Why not 20 loaves? You know, I mean, something that'll carry you over. You know, but David said, give me 5 loaves or whatever you have. He said, in other words, any way you want to bless me, Lord, bless me. And I'll just be satisfied. And he had Saul chasing him, trying to kill him. And so he needed 5 loaves of bread. And I said, Lord, what is about the 5? And I had to look up the five. You know, five means grace. Amen. Here it is. This man is running for his life. How many know you running for your life? You know, the devil's after you. He's after to kill you, destroy you, take your kids from you, do whatever he can from you. So David said, give me five loaves or whatever you got. Bless me and I'll be satisfied. What I'm saying is, David said, well, you're going to need some grace. Amen. The number five stands for grace. David knew that he only needed God's grace to keep him. Amen. And all you need today is the grace of God to keep you, regardless, you know, what the devil has planned for you, what trap he got set for you. All you need is God's grace upon your life. It's not that you've done something wrong or you do stuff wrong all the time, but you're going to need God's grace. Amen. I don't care if you're living the best that you can. You're still going to need God's grace upon you. Amen. Regardless what you, how you're living for God, you're fasting every day. You're living upright. You're walking upright. Amen. You're praying. You're keeping your prayer hour, but you're still going to need God's grace. Amen. How many know that his grace is what? Sufficient. That's all you need. His grace is sufficient. He told Paul, there's a thorn in my side, Lord. Remove this thorn. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Amen. If it's sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for you. God's grace can keep you in whatever situation that you face, whatever situation that you're in today. His grace is sufficient for you. It's enough to get you through. Amen. It's enough to get you on over the hump. Amen. It's enough to get you to the next paycheck. Amen. It's sufficient for you. God got a plan for you. Amen. And then he says in verse 4, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread or ordinary bread under my hand, but there is hollow bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, if they only kept themselves from women, you know, he said, I ain't got no ordinary bread. You know, that ordinary bread was the food that they had at their house. You know, it was their bread. It's bread for the body. Amen. And he said, I ain't got none of that here. Ain't no ordinary bread here in God's house. It shouldn't be no ordinary bread. Shouldn't be no ordinary word in God's house. That should be a sure word in God's house. Amen. It should be a written word, a spoken word in God's house. Amen. He said, I ain't got no ordinary bread under my hand, David. And we know that ordinary stuff, it just ain't good enough. And if you've been out there talking to somebody, they try to encourage you, but they just speaking the worldly language, talking about what the world is doing. And it just don't jive with you. It don't connect with your spirit. That's ordinary speech. You know, you got to give them some bread. Amen. You got to give them some shoe bread, some hollow bread. Amen. You got to give them some of that bread of presence. Amen. You got to give them a word from God. That's what helps people. When you start encouraging them in the Lord, that builds up their faith. Amen. That young lady that I was talking to, when I was telling her that, look, God forgives you for whatever you think you can do, whatever you think you've done, God forgives you for it. People don't think that God can forgive them or that he will forgive them. They try to carry this stuff all by themselves. I'm bearing my cross. Yeah, you bear your cross, but you're following Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor that are heavy burden. I give you rest. God wants you to rest from all that stuff you're trying to do that you can't do. Amen. He said, I ain't got no ordinary bread. The ordinary thing, I mean, no, just ordinary stuff, common stuff just ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. You know, I need something that's going to reach down into my soul. I need something that's going to reach down into my spirit and speak to my spirit. I need something that's going to cause me to smile sometimes. You know, they cause me to laugh sometimes. Amen. You know, the people just ain't, they can't smile no more. They ain't got no joy. They ain't got no peace. You know, if you ain't got no joy, praise for it. Amen. You got to praise for the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So the ordinary thing, it just won't do. Remember the Shunammite woman. You know, her and her son was going to eat their last meal and they was going to die. See, that's what the ordinary bread do for you. You can eat and it fill this belly. You know, it fill you up. But after it digests, you're going to want some more. Amen. But you eat and you're going to die. Amen. And this is 1 Kings 17 and 13. See, this ordinary bread, it won't keep you but for a moment. It'll keep you for a little while. But the word of God going to keep you forever. How many can believe that the word of God is keeping you today? Amen. He's keeping me today. It's keeping you today. It's all over you and it's keeping you alive. Elijah said, 1 Kings 17, 13. And y'all heard about the Shunammite woman that was living in a time of famine and wasn't nothing to eat. Wasn't nothing growing. They were just doing bad. Amen. And so she thought that she was going to go ahead and whatever little bit that she got in her hand, she was going to dress it for her and her son. And they were just going to eat that and just perish. Amen. That's what the ordinary word would do. Elijah said to her, he said, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son." Amen. He said, until she received the word of God, that was just what's going to happen. Amen. But when she received the word of God, go and bake for me first. You got to do what God wants you to do for him first. Amen. You got to serve him first. Amen. You got to seek God first. Amen. He said, "But make me therefore a little cake first." Now, she had not made him a cake first. She was going to eat and she was going to really die, her and her son. But the moment, amen, she received the word of God, that ordinary bread that she made for him, amen. See, sometimes the ordinary bread, it can become a spiritual bread. But when she obeyed the word of God, it became a spiritual word, amen. It became spirit. It became life then, amen. It brought forth life. It brought forth health. It brought forth strength, because when she gave it to him, it sustained him. And then he said, after that, now you're going to go and make some for your son and you. But here's the other thing he said. He said, when you obey God's word and do what he say do, it will keep you. How many believe that when you obey God's word, it's going to keep you? You may not understand it all the time, but you got to keep his word. You ain't going to be able to explain it until you come out of what he told you to go through. Amen. She couldn't explain what Elijah was talking about. Go and make me some food first and then make your kids some. Go and do as you said, he said. Just do what you said you're going to do, but first, take care of God's people. Amen. Take care of him. It wasn't that he was begging. For this is what he said. He said, for thus said the Lord, 14, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal or your bread shall not waste. It ain't going to run out. Amen. Ain't nothing going to run out when you do what God tell you to do. Amen. You ain't going to lose your last dollar. You might give your last $2, but God going to replace it with $4. Amen. You might give your 50, but God going to give you 50s. Amen. God going to multiply. Amen. He's going to do it, but you got to do what he say do first. He said, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Listen at this. Until the day that the Lord sent rain upon earth. God's word is going to keep you. During your hard times, that's what he's telling. He said, look, well, if you do what I tell you to do, I don't care how rough it get out here, how tough it get out here, how many hardships that you endure. I don't care who leave you, who left you. You ain't got no money. You ain't got no food. I don't care how hard. But the word of God, amen. He said, this word ain't going to fall to the ground. He said, until God send rain. Amen. God's word is everlasting. What he's trying to say, the little bit that you got, I don't care what you got in your hand. He said, if you turn it over to God, commit it to God, dedicate it to God, God going to increase it. He going to keep you during all of this drought. That's what he was telling that woman. All the time that you're going through, that I ain't got no food, ain't nothing growing, ain't no rain. You can't even drink no good, clean water. God going to keep you still. You know, it's not for you to know how, amen, but it's for you to believe that God is going to do it. It's not for you to know how God is going to make a way for you today, saints of God. It's for you to believe that he's going to make a way for you today. You know, it's for you to trust God, amen, during your drought season. It's for you to trust God during your hard seasons, amen, when the money is funny. Ain't nobody calling you back for no job, amen. The God's going to do it for you, amen. It's going to happen. He's saying until, he said, God is going to keep you until he send the rain. How many know God going to keep you until he send that rain? Until the day that Lord send rain upon the earth. He was saying spiritually the bread of life is going to keep you in difficult times and situations if you can believe it. Until God sends rain. God said, look, he's going to keep his word. Genesis 8:22, he says, seed time and harvest time will never cease. Amen. As long as the earth remains. So it don't make no difference how hard it got. Seed time and harvest time. It ain't gonna never cease. You're gonna always reap something, even when you didn't sow it. You see, a lot of times we think we got to sow it all the time. He told me in my word that I'm gonna reap houses that I didn't build. Amen. That was my Bible say. I don't know what yours says. He said, I'm gonna reap vineyards that I didn't plant. Amen. Something I ain't got nothing to do with, but it belonged to me. Something that you ain't got nothing to do with, but it belonged to you. You ain't always got to be out there sowing. Amen. God is sowing it for you. All you got to do is sow the word in your life. All you got to do is stand on what God is telling you. Amen. What the word says. Amen. He will keep you. He said, seed time and harvest time will never cease as long as the earth remains. And long as this earth is here, God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you as long as this earth is here. And if the earth is here and you on here, I'm going to take care of you. As long as your kid is in your house, you're going to take care of that baby. Amen. You're going to do what you got to do. You're going to do some of the things that you shouldn't do. Some of the things that you said you wasn't going to do, you're going to do them anyway. Amen. If we, being evil, he said, know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more would the Father which is in heaven give unto his? Give unto you the Holy Ghost. Amen. That asks for it. God going to take care of him. He said, long as seed time and harvest time is in the earth, it will never cease. He's going to keep you. His word will keep you until the latter rain. Can we remember? We're praying, seeking God for the latter rain. Amen. We received the former rain. They received their former rain. I found out that the former rain, it came. See, it was soft water to break up the hard ground. You know, the fallow ground. That soft, that former rain, it caused the seed that was sown to sprout, to start to germinate. Amen. But the latter rain. We need the latter rain. You know, we thank God for the sprouts. Amen. We thank God for the germination. Amen. But we need the latter rain. The latter rain is coming, saints of God. It's coming to bring forth the fruit. Amen. When that you get that rain that comes down, that downpour, that gushing rain, it's going to bring forth the fruit. Amen. It's going to bring forth the things that you've been waiting for, the fruition of the blessing that God has spoken to your life. It's going to bring forth. Amen. It's going to bring forth the fruit that you've been waiting for. Amen. That's what the latter rain is going to do. The latter rain calls the seed or the word not only to germinate and sprout. It's going to send the latter rain, the seed, the word, the soul that you sowed or you didn't sow. Amen. Somebody sowed a seed. Amen. That you're going to reap from. It's going to come to fruition. Amen. That what God has spoken over your life is coming to fruition. Amen. If God said he's going to heal you, God, it's going to come to fruition. If God said he's going to increase you, it's going to come to fruition. Amen. If God said don't move, God ain't going to allow you to be moved. Amen. Whatever God's spoken to you, it's going to come to pass in the latter rain. But we just got to know that God is going to send that latter rain. He's sending the latter rain. We thank him for the rain. Amen. It's going to make you mature. That's what it's going to do. This latter rain makes you mature. The hard rain come, it beat down on the earth. Amen. It beat down on the seed. It caused that seed to go and hide a little deeper because it don't want to get washed away. Amen. So when that seed, when the latter rain come, it caused you to take care of that seed. Lord, I don't want to lose what you told me. You know, I don't want the devil taking away from me. So it goes down in the deep. And that's why he said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word, every spoken word, every written word. Amen. That's what we're supposed to live by, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, the devil trying to keep you shut up. And I believe he got some of God's folk just zipped. They quiet. They don't want to speak out. I heard somebody say something about weaponizing. Was that you? Somebody said something about weaponizing. It's a weapon. Praise is a weapon. But you know what, man? Your tongue is a weapon. It's a weapon. Amen. How many know that your tongue can do some stuff? Yeah, boy, it can cause you what? Some trouble. But I found out too, when he said man should not live by bread alone, you know, but by every written word, every spoken word, God wants us to speak his word. Amen. He wants you, not only we talk about meditating. Remember I told you that meditating is not just always thinking on his word. It's speaking out. He said meditating in their sense was speaking the word, muttering, saying something. What I'm saying. Al, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is God wants you to speak out. He wants you to speak to your mountains. He wants you to speak to your situation. Amen. That's what God wants to do. Paul said, I would that all spake in tongues. He would that everybody spoke in tongues. Everybody feel like, you know, well, people say, well, you ain't spoken tongue, you ain't saved. But that was a big deal with me. I want to speak in tongues, Lord. You said we're supposed to speak in tongues. But Paul said, I would all of y'all speak in tongues. But listen what he said here. This is what the devil's trying to get you not to do. He said, but rather that ye prophesy. Amen. He said, for greater is he that prophesy than he that speaketh in tongues. Why? Because when you prophesy, you're speaking out. Your words are going somewhere. They're creating something. I mean, we know that the power of death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen. So if the devil got you speaking death, he all right with that. But he don't want you speaking life. Amen. Over your situation. He don't want you encouraging yourself. Amen. He don't want you encouraging your neighbor. He don't want you encouraging this person that's an alcoholic, telling them that he don't have to be no alcoholic. He don't want you telling the person they ain't got no job that you're going to get a job. Amen. That's what the devil, he wants to keep you silent. Amen. He wants to silence God's name, but he ain't going to silence my mouth. Amen. I'm going to speak out. It's time for us to start speaking out, speaking things into existence. Amen. So Paul, no, if we speak, there's something going to happen. Amen. It's time for us to weaponize these tongues. Amen. Weaponize, I mean telling the devil where to go. I ain't talking about telling your neighbor where to go. What they say, what train to get off on and what bus to get on. Some saying they got out there. It ain't, your tongue ain't made for that. Your tongue ain't made for cursing. Amen. Your tongue is made for praising. Your tongue is made for blessing. Amen. Your tongue is made for uplifting people, encouraging people. That's what we weaponize against the devil. You tell the devil where to go. You tell the devil that you're a lie. I am the head and not the tail. You know? I am going to be blessed. What God has for me is for me. Amen. Amen. It's my kids are going to be saved. Amen. I don't care what it looked like, how it sound. I don't know. I know it's been a long time. I've been saying that before you came. But guess what? They're going to be saved. Amen. They coming out. Amen. They going to come out because God told me they was coming out. I'm telling you what the Lord said. They coming out and they going to be saved. It's time for us to weaponize our tongue to destroy the enemy. Start declaring the word of God over our life. Declaring the word of God over our family. Declaring the word of God over our situation. That's how you weaponize this tongue against the devil. Let them know that what he says is a lie. Amen. Letting them know that what he's showing you is deceitful. Amen. You can speak to that devil. Speak to him. Tell him where to go. And he says in David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread in a manner common. Yea, though it was sanctified this day in the vessel. He said, the priest said, look, we can give you some of this bread, David, but, you know, have you and your men been clean? In other words, they were saying that they can't have this bread unless they were clean. David said, well, we was kept from women. They had a whole lot of ordinance of cleanliness. Amen. You couldn't do hardly nothing, without being unclean back in them days. But David answered and said, we are clean. They were clean. They were physically and ritual pure. They was ritually ceremonial clean. They had to be clean to receive this shewbread. Even the priests had to be clean to receive this shewbread. Amen. And matter of fact, it was only for the priests. I want to get off into that because take a while. The shewbread was only for the priests. When you study that one day, they had not touched no dead bodies. They had not eaten anything unclean. They kept themselves from sexual activities. They kept themselves from women. And so some rituals require a partial and a full body washing. What I'm saying is some of these religions out here believe before they come to God that they got to, go step by step by washing their faces, washing their hands, washing their eyes, washing their head and arms and washing their bodies up. They have to do that, they believe, before they come to God. And that's that ritual purification. That's that flesh, purification. But God ain't only interested in what you look like on the outside. He's not only interested how you dress this body up, how you make it feel good, look good. God is interested in on something on the inside. They were ceremonial clean, and they couldn't touch this bread unless they were clean. But Jesus came and changed all of that. Amen. How many glad that Jesus came and changed a whole lot of things that we could not handle. Amen. He took on everything that we couldn't handle. Amen. He says it's not what goes in a person. Amen. That defiles him and make him unclean. It ain't because you touch the bed of an unclean woman when she's on a cycle. It's not because you touch an unclean or dead body that makes you unclean. That don't make you clean. See, that's the ordinary bread that they were dealing with. Amen. It's what comes from within a person, the person's heart, that makes him unclean. Amen. From the abundance of the heart, what the mouth is going to speak. And he says, For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immoralities, thefts and murders, adultery, greed and foolishness, deceitfulness. Everything that comes from the heart comes from within. He said all these evils come from inside that defiles a person. Amen. So we got to realize and understand that what we can wash up as much as you want to. You can go get you some zest and be zestfully clean on the outside and filthy and dirty and raggedy on the inside. Amen. But Jesus came and done away with all that. Paul says, he said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin. And what? Cleanse you from all of this uncleanness that's inside of you. God is looking for, he's trying to make up something on the inside of us. Because when God get to your heart and get to your mind, then the outside start to look good. Then the outside want to dress right. Amen. It don't matter. You can go and tell men and women, man, stop wearing all this stuff. Until God get on the inside of them and clean them up on the inside, then that outside going to line up. Amen. He going to walk like a man. He going to look like a man. He going to want to talk like a man. He don't want to be a man until God get inside of their heart and change things. Amen. Ain't nothing going to change unless God changes them. That's why Paul said, if you confess those sins, we got to confess. A lot of folk ain't confessing these sins. Amen. They want God to go along with their sin. Lord, I accept you. You got to accept me how I am, you know. But God going to accept you how you are, but he wants to change you. Amen. Since Jesus came into my life, oh, what a change. Huh? Did a change happen to you, or are you still that old man? You got to put off that old man. You got to get rid of the old man. John said, Paul wrote, God sanctifies you and make you clean by the washing of the water by the word of God. You got to have the word, amen? You got to have the word to clean you up. Bible says, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his ways? You know, we're trying to cleanse our own ways. And you just ain't good enough. Your righteousness ain't good enough. Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? The Bible said, by taking heed according to the word of God. That's how you clean yourself up. You know, that's how you get the filth off. You know, this flesh gonna always be filthy. You can wash it every day and scrub it every day. Pardon me, my brothers and sisters. I'm dark. I get a white rag, and after I take two or three showers, I still get some dirt. I know you lighter than I am. And I believe you get your rag too, and you can scrub, and you can get you some dirt. God ain't interested on this. He wants that inside. The word scrubs you clean on the inside. Amen. He makes you whole again. He makes you a new creature. Amen. He makes old things pass away. He makes new things come. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost, that's what the word would do. It'll make you want to live right. Amen. Amen. It'll make you want to live right. You know, even the flesh on the outside make you want to say things and do things that you ain't got to do. So instead of keeping these rituals and these ceremonial practices, God wants us to show mercy. And so that's what that was all about. The priest knew David wasn't supposed to have it, but you know what? God is looking for us to have mercy on folk. You know, David, you think God going to turn him away? David, you ain't no priest. You can't have none of this. And David died. He's starving, hot, sweaty, not knowing I can't go knock on nobody's door because the king got an order on, he got a hit on me. He got a mark on me. So I got to come to you, and where else can you go? Where else do you go? He went to God, amen, where he can get some guidance, where he can get some help, where he can get some protection, where he can get some food, amen. And when you get that food, he gets strength, amen. So David had to go somewhere where he can get some strength. He had to go to the priest. And they didn't have no common bread. And I'm going to ask you, saints of God, you priest of God, you ain't got no ordinary bread, do you? You carrying around some ordinary bread? No, you ain't carrying around no ordinary bread. You carrying around the shoe bread. You carrying around the bread of life. Amen. God is looking for us to show mercy. Let's go down to 1 Samuel 21 and 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread. Amen. For there was no bread there but the shoe bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. You know, the Bible says David, in his time of trouble, he went to the priest. Amen. He knew where to go when he needed help. You know, we better know where to go when we need help. We better know that we can go to God, amen, in the time of trouble. And so many people going so many different places, you know, they wait for this talk show host to come on to get some information from them. They want to read that book and get the information from them. But God is giving you a book. He's giving you everything that you need, amen, and it's sitting right there on the table, and it's him. He said, take it, eat of my body, amen. God wants you to eat from him. He said, look, in verse 1, It says that David went to Nob. You know, Nob was a place where the tabernacle and the ark and the covenant was there. And if the covenant and tabernacle and the ark was there, the priest had to be there. Amen. So David ran to a place where he knew he can get some help. He went to a place. He didn't go to his father's house. He knew that the devil would be there waiting for him. He didn't go to his cousin's house. He knew, you know, the devil would be there waiting for him. He went to a place where he knew he can find some help. It's time for the people to start running to a place where they know they can find some help. And the only place that I know that you can get some help is to God. It's time for people to start running to God's house. Amen. It's time for them to start bombarding the house of God. Amen. Because David knew that in God's house, he will find some help in time of need. You got to know that you're going to find some help in time of need in God's house. In his presence, you're going to find some help in time of need. Amen. God going to provide your need. This is why Paul says God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. God going to supply your need. David knew exactly where to go. People know where to go, but they don't want to run to Jesus. They don't want to run to God. They'd rather run over here and they'd rather run over there instead of running to the house of God where they know they can get some help, where they know where somebody got healed, where they know that somebody got delivered, where they know that they heard or saw a miracle. They still don't want to run. You got to run someplace and hide where you know you can get some help. David knew where to go. Amen. We know where to go. And so the Bible said he went to a place called Nob. And this place, they say it means a high place or a place of elevation. I know David said also that take me to a rock. Take me to the rock that's higher than I know it's got to be a place that's better than where I am right now. It's got to be a place that where I can get a little higher where the devil can't reach me. Amen. And I know a lot of people were ready for God to elevate them. Amen. But you got to be in the house of God. Amen. You got to be in the presence of God before God can elevate you. You got to humble yourself before God and he will lift you up. You got to humble yourself under his mighty hand and he will exalt you in due time. A lot of folk, God wants to elevate. God wants to elevate you and bring you up from where you are. How many tired of being where you are today? You know, I'm tired of being where I am today. God is good, but I know God got a better place for me. He's got a higher place for me. Amen. He's got a higher place for me. God's trying to elevate your faith. Amen. He's trying to elevate your strength. Amen. He's trying to elevate you to a position where you can help not only yourself, not about self. He's trying to elevate you where you can help somebody else. Amen. God's trying to put some money in your pocket so you can give it to somebody else. He's trying to give you a skill where you can try to give that to somebody else. Amen. Use it to serve somebody else. Amen. God wants to elevate his people, but we got to humble ourselves. Amen. Under his mighty hand. And he said, in due time, I mean, you know that there's a time and a season. There's a due time. God going to elevate you. God going to elevate your ministries. Amen. He going to bring you up. Those that lower themselves, he's going to lift them up. And those that lift themselves up, he's going to abase them. He's going to bring them low. Amen. David went to a place where he can know he can be elevated. Elevated by men of God. Not ostracized. Not criticized. Not bring things up to his remembrance about what he did in the past. David, I will give you some of this bread, but remember Bathsheba? Remember what you did to her husband? You remember that? You remember your daughter got raped and you didn't do nothing to your son? God's going to put people places where they can get some help. Amen? Where they can be elevated. Amen? Elevated in their spirit, not in their flesh. Amen? God wants to elevate you today. I believe God is telling us that he wants us to be elevated coming from a place so low. God is going to bring us up out of it. Amen? God going to do it for you. How many believe God going to do it? The Bible said he raises the poor from the dust. Lifts up the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes. With princes of his people. God going to put you in places where you ain't think you can sit. I believe it. God going to start putting his people in places where they ain't think. They were not even allowed or they thought that they weren't able to be. Amen. Your gift will make room for you. And all you got to do is have the gift of love. Love God and your gift going to make room for you. Amen. One more scripture for you. Deuteronomy 28 and 13. This is how I know that God is going to elevate you. This is how I believe that God is going to put you in a high place. He says, the Lord will make you the head. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands, the Bible says, of the Lord your God, that I will give you this day, and carefully follow them. Well, God is telling us, keep the word. Keep the word no matter what. No matter your situation, no matter circumstance, keep the word. He said, pay attention to them. Give ear to the word of God. Pay attention to his commands. Amen. That your God has gave you. And carefully, he said, follow them. And he said, what he says, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. That's a word from God. That's the word of God. He said, if you hearken to his voice, observe and do his commands, he said, you will always, you ain't going to never fall to the bottom. He said, you'll always be the head and you'll never be the tail. How many believe that this morning? I believe I can always be the head. In fact, I am the head. Amen. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. Amen. You can be the tail all you want, but I'm the head and not the tail. He said you will always be at the top and you'll never be at the bottom. God wants to elevate you. He wants to bless you beyond you can imagine. Amen. David went to the house of God where he can be strengthened. That's where David went. David went to get some bread, some shoe bread. You know, this shoe bread we got today is not in the tabernacle no more. It's not in a certain place. This word should be in your heart, in your mouth, the Bible says. All you have to do is speak it. Stand on God's promises. And all of his promises are, yes, no, and I ain't going to do it. Thank you, sister. Yes and amen. That's what his promises says. They are for you. He died for you. Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never what? Hunger. He that believeth on me shall never what? Thirst. He said as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke and said this and gave it to his disciples. He said this, take ye, this is my body. It's broken for you. He gave you something that you own. He ain't talking about his flesh. Don't be like them folk. Wait a minute, Lord. We can't be eating up your flesh and drinking of your blood. He talking about his word. Take his word. And God wants to elevate you. You know, you are priestly. God, Jesus changed all that around. It's not just for the priest anymore. Those that hide behind the curtain. He tore that veil. It's for you, and anybody else to say, yes, Lord, I make you my Lord and my Savior. That's who it's for. It's for that sinner. He said he came for the lost. He came for the sick. The well need not a physician. So his word is for them too. Amen. But healing is the children's bread. Take, eat. Eat off his table. Eat with the Lord. Don't worry about what nobody else is telling you about how you ain't going to make it. How tough it is. It's bad now. I don't even know if Social Security is going to be around when you retire. Don't pay none of that attention. Because I was told that too when I was a little boy. Well, I don't know if none of that. I didn't know what Social Security was back then. I don't know what my daddy was talking about. You know, put your trust in God. God got all of this in control. You know, if he takes Social Security, he got another plan for you. Amen. He take the 401k, he got another plan for you. God got a way. Amen. And we can't get away from it. Because his blessing is going to always be up on you. If you hearken to his voice. Do that which is right. He said, these blessings. I don't think we experienced any of them blessings yet. These blessings shall come up on you and overtake. He ain't talking about what the government got for you. He ain't talking about no Social Security. He ain't talking about no pension. That stuff can go just like that. We shoving all our money in there, you know, hoping the best for the future. Yeah, I put something up, they say, for a rain day, but I ain't depending on it. I can depend on God. Through the storm, through the rain, through sickness, I can depend on God. You depend on God. Let him be your first and your last. Let him be your yay and your amen to your situation. Amen. God bless you on this morning. Know that God wants to elevate you. He don't want you still sitting where you're sitting today. He don't want you to stay planted. He wants you to grow. That's what a plant do, don't it? You know, if I got a tree, man, I almost dug up my rose bushes. Got them, they were so little. And I kept walking around every day. They ain't doing nothing. I wasn't going to tell Tawana because she said, I told you she'd got them at all this. You know, I kept looking every day. Man, these things ain't doing nothing. I said, man, I'm about to dig these up. Take them back. Boy, them things about this tall, man. But I just kept looking. And I got a testimony she ain't telling y'all. She got God is good. She just got to trust God. You got to wait for him. I bought her a lemon tree from Home Depot about 3-4 years ago. And she tried her best to take care of it. We was taking it outside, bringing it inside, taking it outside. That thing died. But for whatever reason, she held on to it. She kept it. I was like, Tawana, look, this thing is brittle. Don't be picking off my tree. I said, it's dry. Don't have no life to it. She said, well, just leave it alone, Al. Just leave it alone. That tree is behind the couch at the window, and it's budding. Got leaves all on it. Got flowers finna give us some lemons. You just got to trust God. Put your trust in God. Amen. You know, the money, all of that stuff, it answers all things that money can answer. Amen. But there are some things that only God can answer. Amen. Only God can do it for you. In a drought season. You know, anybody in a drought season today? Come on, we'll pray for you. We'll pray God to send some rain on you. Amen. We're looking for that latter rain. Amen. He said your former days, your latter days are going to be greater than your former days. Anybody believe that today? Brother, you want, come on, we'll pray for you. You say you're living in a drought season. Don't be afraid. We'll pray for you. We're just going to touch and agree and ask God to send you some rain. That's all we're going to do. If you don't step out there under the cloud, you ain't going to get no rain. You know, you started this, David. You put your hand up and say, I'm in a drought. Anybody else in a drought? You know, God going to send some rain. Amen. He going to send that latter rain. Amen. Up on your life. He knows what you need, David. A better job, health insurance. God knows what you need, a better vehicle. He knows exactly what you need. God can cause people to give unto you. But that's what my Bible says. That's what the word say. Amen. He will cause men to give unto your bosom. He'll put it on people's heart. They got the stuff. You know, they ain't got to know you. Stranger, man, come give you stuff. Yeah, man. Yeah. Stranger came and knocked on my door twice. And gave me something. In the rain. Do you believe that? All these houses in this subdivision, he came to my door. Gave me a brand new Apple computer. Then he came back and gave me a scanner. I'm like, Lord, what else you going to do? Man, God do anything, man. He touched people. I mean, why me? Why not me? Why not me? Why not you? Why not you? Why not you? Why not you? Amen. God, no respect to person, David. And we're going to pray to God. You got any specifics?
No.
All right. We're just going to ask God to send you some rain. Is that all right? That good enough?
Yeah.
Is that good enough, saints? Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, God, for your word, God. We know, God, that you want us, God, to come up hither. come up a little bit closer, Lord God. You want us to rise up, God, and elevate, God. Lord God, you want to put us in a better place, Lord God, than we are. God, I pray for my brother right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, he says he needs some rain, God. Lord, we ask that you would send him a spiritual rain, God, natural rain, Father. Send down the rain, God. Send that latter rain, God, in David's house, Lord God, in his spirit, God. Up on his children, Father, in the name of his situation, God. Send forth that rain, Father, in the name of Jesus. And bring forth the fruit, God. In Jesus' name, Father, we do pray, God. And we give you praise, glory, and all the honor. Amen, God. God's going to give you that rain, man. Look, David, when he do it, let us know. When he do it, not if he do it. It's going to be so, brother. Amen. Believe it and receive it. Believe it and receive it. God is going to elevate. I'm looking for my elevation. Amen. I'm looking for my elevator. And Jesus is my elevator. He going to take me to the top. Amen. Yes, he is. He's going to take you to the top. Jesus is your elevator. He's going to cause you to rise and shine because the glory of the Lord is upon you. Amen. There'll be nothing else. Anybody else need prayer? We're going to dismiss. Let us remember Sister Harvey. Keep praying for her. You know, this stuff that come up on her, we just never know. You never know. But you know the thing about it, at least you are ready. You're ready. You know, a lot of folk ain't ready. She's ready, you know. But we're looking for God to give her a miracle. I'm looking for her to call and say, "Bro, Al, that thing ain't there no more. I believe it, God. I believe it. That thing ain't going to be there no more, Lord, in the name of Jesus." In Jesus' name, continue to lift Pastor up. Continue to pray for Yvette, Tawana's friend. She's going through in her body. She's taking care of an elderly mother. She's taking care of a nephew. Her job, again, is not acting right. It's just one thing after another. Amen. But how many know God is able? Hallelujah. He's able. He can do it. Amen. He can do it. You know, ain't nothing too hard for him. And we can't put no limitations on him. We can't say, "Well, he'll take care of this and we'll take care of that." Lord, take care of it all. Amen. Because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, for your word. We thank and praise you, God, for the bread of presence, that hallowed bread, God, that bread that you set just aside for us, Lord God, in the time of need. Lord, we thank you. We praise your name now. God, we pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord God, to come on in, draw a little closer to your Father. Help us, Lord God, to seek your face, Lord God. Seek it, Lord God. Lord God, David said, when you said, "Seek me," Lord, my heart said I will seek you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to seek you, Lord God, with all we got, Father. And God, we ask you to watch over us and keep us, Lord God, until we can meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.